In Galatians, Paul is attempting to communicate that life in the Spirit is fuller than the law itself. Paul is communicating that we are no longer a slave to the master, but rather heirs, children of God. Jesus experienced a love and intimacy with God that now was theirs, now is ours through the Spirit. And when we live in the Spirit, we then may also call God our loving parent. This beloved relationship then produces life with the same fruits that are of God exemplified in Jesus. Some of you who have been willing to share how you have witnessed these fruits in your daily life. And these are ways we continue to experience the coming of the Holy Spirit today. So I invite you to listen to those who are sharing with us, but also be reflecting on the ways that you too have witnessed the fruits of the Spirit.
Hi, my fruit of the Spirit is love. And love is probably one of the hardest fruits to explain, but if there's one thing about love that is eternal and everlasting, is the love that we have from God for all of us, and the love he wishes for us to give to others. An example of love I see in my everyday life, besides the love God gives me, of course, is the love for my parents, the love for my friends, and the love I have for them as well. Love reminds us that we are important to someone in this world and that we matter. Love reminds us that we're cared about, and love reminds us that we can still have things that we enjoy. Love is one of the most important fruits to have, if it's something that the human race cannot possibly live without.
The poet Rumi says, "The soul is here for its own joy." Joy gives us purpose. Its very existence is a gift that's ingrained within us and is something to live into. It transcends simple happiness, because rather than stemming from some outside source or being a feeling that's felt towards something, joy comes from a deeper place in the soul, and in that way it can stand all on its own. Joy is the gift of being able to smile and feel gratitude and levity in any situation. It's when you smile at a stranger and you feel community and purpose, regardless of whether they smile back. It's the fulfillment that comes from any action born of the soul. It's that feeling you get when you've accomplished something meaningful, helping that friend, or completing that work project that you've been passionate about. And the best part about joy is that it can be felt in anything.
The path to peace winds through a stumbly terrain. I think I see a garden gate on the far side of the twisted honeysuckle that winds its way around my ankles if I pause too long. Why won't he wear a mask? Why does she seem to assign to me the worst intentions? Can it be the color of my skin, the name I carry, the burden I was born with? Is peace on the other side of my garden gate, or is it an illusion? Above my head, the morning sky bursts into bloom, streaks of light beckoning toward a promise, and the scent of lilacs everywhere.
Patience is a metaphoric volume between the bookends of life. Humans impose patience for the unknown moment of a normal birth and death. Patience comes at various stages of life and can be painful and intense. I asked my brother how he would define patience in his last 68 days of going to the bedside of his wife, anticipating healing from her brain injury. His immediate reply was, "Patience is a provision from God." He has felt this along with many prayers when days were the same or when there was noted healing. With age, I have noted there are times when patient needs to become primary and plans secondary. Currently, my relocation plans to Iowa have become secondary and patients primary due to construction delays impacted by COVID. Patience is now primary with a focus on God's faithfulness and these words from Micah 7:7. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
Kindness. It seems simple. We all appreciate it when we receive it. And we know a Christ-like life exemplifies it. Yet, in a world of limited social interaction and a lack of emphasis on kindness in the news, I found myself struggling to find an easy example of kindness. However, as I thought a little bit more and looked at my church family, I was quick to find examples of kindness popping in my head. Whether it was the gifts of flowers and plants for our new bare beds that we received, or the arrival of mush at our front door from a small group friend who wanted to share in our first experience of the dish, it was suddenly easy to find examples of kindness. Looking at our church and their members, the fruit of the Spirit is easy to see. Kindness.
20 plus years ago, goodness could get lost in the demands of my Capitol Hill life. Long hours in a partisan environment, traveling a lot for business. In fact, a work commitment meant I was pulling up to Masontown Mennonite Church just as Uncle Norman's funeral service was starting. I rushed to the only seat I could find on the side overflow level, which allowed me to face the people packed into the sanctuary. I paused to take in the scene. Well-worn faces of relatives and churchgoers I remembered from childhood. Such a contrast to my daily life. Earnest, humble, gentle, caring, hardworking people joined in their love of God, my uncle, and each other, and through their grief, heartily four-part singing a hymn I hadn't heard for decades. I too was grieved by our loss, but it wasn't just the music washing over me. I was floating in an ocean of goodness. With tears that testify to holy moments, I distinctly thought, remember this when you return and need reassurance that goodness does exist in this world.
Fruit of the Spirit, an illustration of faithfulness. Time, around 1980, a group of Buddhist monks marched along I-70 from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. in a new anti-nuclear protest. As a faculty member at Greenville University, located near St. Louis, I was asked to arrange overnight lodging for them. The president and dean declined having them on campus. I discussed the dilemma with Frank Van Valen, pastor of the college church, who immediately stepped forward and said, "Well, if the college can't get involved, our church can." Immediately, things were placed in motion, and the outcome was that not only did these monks get a good night's rest, but they were later invited to interact with students over the dinner hour on the college campus. Faithfulness is practical moral wisdom in the Christian life, the capacity to bring the commitment to follow Christ to everyday life. It's been said, faithfulness relies on the reasoning heart, but not in opposition to the reasoning head.
Gentleness is a NICU nurse calmly adjusting settings on a ventilator and repositioning a baby born at 24 weeks to improve his oxygen saturation and cardiac status. Gentleness is the neuro nurse setting up a call for a family that can't visit their loved one but wants to play religious music for them on repeat. Gentleness is the nurse who is willing to teach a student like me, even with 1,000 other things going on. Gentleness should not be confused for a lack of strength, but rather it is the abundance of strength, generosity, and care.
Pentecost Sunday, the spiritual fruit of self-control. Practicing self-control is a choice. I have a grandson who is a runner, and he's quite good. He's been a runner ever since he's been a freshman in high school. Now he's a junior in college, and he's doing quite well. I've noticed one thing about him. He doesn't go out trying primarily to beat other runners, but his primary goal is to beat his own record. When he does that, he's very pleased, and a lot of the time he wins the race as well as his own previous record. He manages his race, how fast to run in the beginning, when, where, and how does he pick up the pace and move ahead? He needs to know the other runners, their abilities, and their characteristics so he can develop his own race strategy. This is very similar to life with other persons in community. We have tasks that need to be done. Different persons have different skills, different abilities. How can we cooperate? How can we work together? How can we choose the best path forward or the strategy to do the best job with the personnel, skills, and time that we have available? Learning to know ourselves and each other and asking the Spirit's help, I believe, will help us choose what you desire for each of us to do.